the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. You know, I'm always struck by the first chapters there of Genesis. And there's a lot to parse out between those. And if you go through and you do a study of all the Hebrew that's used in the first two chapters of Genesis, it looks like a mess. It's all over the place. So I think it's probably for that reason and the fact that there are actually two creation stories that are given there. One in chapter 1, one in chapter 2. And we've sort of mushed them together. We've made them one story. We've taken chapter 2 and put it after chapter 1, verse 26, in between that and 27. And so that's probably what all of us learned in Sunday school, that it was some sort of mashup between those two like that. So I'm going to give you a little redux here of what I read today, or this week, of this. In the beginning, there was nothing. There was a formless void. And God created. God created. That's actually the Hebrew word. He created. The word used there talks about building, organizing, putting together. And he does all these things. Creates the sky, and it was good. And he creates the birds, and it was good. And he creates the fish, and it was good. And he creates the animals, and it was... And then he creates man. Actually, the word is Adam. It means from the earth. And it was... It doesn't say that. Everything else is good. Birds, good. Fish, good. Animals, good. Earth, good. Sky, good. Water, good. Man, kind of comes to a full stop. Now, if you take chapter 2 and you put it after verse 26, it's real interesting because that's the first time God says, this is not good. Created man, this is not good. Why was it not good? Because man was alone. You know, I often hear people talk about, oh, you know, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I don't go to church, but I like to take walks out in the woods by myself and be with nature, and that's my spiritual time. That's my time I connect with God. Well, that's all good and well. But let's look back into what this theology that Genesis is teaching us is saying, right? Adam, alone in the world, with all these fish, with all these animals, with all these birds, with nature, God is walking around there with him. You would have thought that would have been the perfect spiritual experience, right? Out in nature, alone with your thoughts and with God. But then what does God say? It's not good. See, we are not complete according to our creation and by God's design until we are with others. We are creatures created to be in community. We are creatures created to be with each other. I think that's a powerful statement. I think that's one of also the most difficult things to do. I had a conversation once with a man who was a monk, and I said, what's the most challenging thing about being a monk? You know what he said? Other monks. It's difficult to be in community with other people. There's a joke about a man who was on this deserted island, and he was found after many years of being on this island, and he had built all of these buildings on this deserted island by himself, and the people who came and rescued him finally said, well, what's this? This is where I lived. And he said, well, what's this? And he said, oh, that's my church. And so, what's that building over there? He said, oh, that's where I used to go to church. Everybody's got one of those. Everybody's got one of those. Because we are so convinced we're right sometimes that we're not willing to work through some of the difficult things in our lives. And I think that's kind of the point of what Jesus was talking about whenever he's talking about divorce. You see, at those times, and certainly the 1,000 or so years beforehand when Moses was writing, divorce was largely a man saying, I don't need you anymore. I mean, let's be realistic. I found someone younger and cuter than you, and so you can just now go live on the street while I'm shacked up with this one, okay? That's a hardness of heart. That's a cruelty. That's a cruelty. And it's not living together in community. It's not living together and working through things. Now, some things are irreconcilably broken. I get that. I understand that. Jesus even, I think, understands that. But the reality is, if we are throwing things away because they no longer serve our selfish self-interests, we have abandoned part of our own creation, our own identity, who we were made to be. It's not always easy to be together in a group working on a project. It's not always easy to work, be employed with certain people. It's not always easy to be married. It's not always easy to be in church with each other. But you know what is important? Loving each other. Appreciating each other. Working through some of these difficult things. And like I said, sometimes it's not going to work. It's just not going to happen. I believe that's okay. Whatever we've discerned that in love. And I believe that's okay whenever we have come to those sorts of conclusions in community. Because we are best. I do truly believe this. We as humans are best when we work together. It's certainly true in the church. I think it's true in marriage. I think it's true in our employment. We are at our best when we work together. I would challenge us all in the days and weeks to come for us all to work a little harder. Find someone that we really enjoy not dealing with. Let me put it to you that way. Try to find some way to work with them for the betterment, maybe of each other's lives, maybe for the betterment of the church, the proclamation of the gospel, for whatever business you're in. Make that a spiritual discipline. Because if we are alone, it ain't good. Together, we are complete.